Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Bruria Siegel, and today we will be studying Sefer Yonah, Perek Aleph, Chapter 1. As we know, we read Sefer Yonah during Mincha of Yom Kippur, just before Ne'ilah. This might be the most urgent, religiously charged moment of the entire year. Why do we read the Book of Yonah then? If you were in charge and you were to pick the passage that would be read at this moment on Yom Kippur, when we can feel the urgency in every one of our shuls, what sefer would you choose? Would it be this fantastical story of a man, a prophet, who runs away from God and en route gets caught in a storm and then thrown into the water and then swallowed by a fish and then finally submits to the will of God? Right? There has to be more to this engaging story. It has to be that there are messages here for us and eternal lessons if it's read at this most auspicious time of the year. Over the course of the 4 days together studying Sefer Yonah, let's uncover those messages. Let's see if we can integrate these ideas into our own lives. So before we begin in the text itself, we have to ask, who is Yonah, right? Who is this man? Have we heard of him before? Truth is, he is somewhat of an enigmatic character, and we don't really know that much about him. But what we do know is that he does make one other appearance in Tanakh, and that's in Sefer Malachim. He is the Navi for the Israelite king, Yeravam ben Yoash. More interesting, I think, though, is the Midrash in Pirkei D'Rabbi Eliezer, which identifies Yonah as the child resurrected by Eliyahu HaNavi. So the story goes as follows. Eliyahu is traveling, and this poor widow takes him in and gives him a place to live. She takes really good care of him and shares the very, very little that she has with him. While he's there, this woman's son becomes very sick and dies, and somehow miraculously, Eliyahu is able to revive him. According to the Midrash, that little boy was Yonah ben Amittai, which is fascinating, and I'll tell you why. Because Sefer Yonah is a book all about second chances, right? Yonah, the sailors, the people of Nineveh, everyone is getting second chances. And so how fitting that even as a child, Yonah is given a second chance. He owes his existence to the fact that he was given a second chance. Let's begin in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, chapter 1, verse 1. Vayihi devar Hashem el Yonah ben Amittai lemor. And the word of Hashem came to Yonah saying, come, get up, lech el Nineveh, go to the city of Nineveh, today Mosul in Iraq, and then it was the capital of Assyria. Ha'ir ha'gdola, a very large city, ukra elah, and call against it, ki al tara atam lefanai, because their wickedness has come before me. And before God even has a chance to tell Yonah what he's going to say to this big city of Nineveh, look in Pasuk Gimel, Vayakam Yonah gets up, livroach Tarshisha, to run away to Tarshish, which is exactly halfway between Timbuktu and Yehabitzville. Basically, it's as far away as he can get, milifnei Hashem, from God. Now, we have to ask, does Yonah really think that he can run from God? Every three-year-old who is familiar with Uncle Maishi knows Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. And Yonah is a Navi, he's a prophet. So he might even know better than Uncle Maishi that you can't escape from God. So what is Yonah thinking? But I think if we look at that last word, that word that we just read in Pasuk Gimel carefully, we'll understand, right? Vayakam Yonah levroach Tarshisha milifnei Hashem. The Ibn Ezra points out the Pasuk doesn't say mipnei Hashem, from God, but rather milifnei Hashem, from the presence of God. He knows very well that he can't run from God, but maybe he can run from Nevuah. Maybe he can find a place where there's no reception. It's kind of a place that's out of Nevuah range, and then God can't access him. Sorry, God, no cell service here, right? Continuing on Pasuk Gimel, Vayirid Yafo, he goes down to Yafo, and that word Vayirid is actually important. It comes up a lot in this parak, and it's alluding to the idea that this isn't just a physical descent or a geographical descent, right? Spiritually and emotionally, Yonah is headed downhill. And he finds a boat. Ba'at Tarshish, amazing, it's going to Tarshish, that's where he wants to go. Ba'itin schara, so he pays its fare. He doesn't just pay for his ticket, but he pays for the entire fare of the boat. Okay, he is in a rush. He wants to get out of there fast. He is a man on a mission to avoid God's mission. Vayirid ba. Again, we have that word vayirid, and he goes down. Lavo imahem Tarshish milifnei Hashem, to go with them to Tarshish milifnei Hashem, not from God, but from the presence of God. He wants out of Nivua range. He does not want God speaking to him anymore. And then in Pasuk Dalet is when things start to get scary. Vahashem hitil ruach gedola el hayam. Hashem sends a strong wind, causing a very forceful storm. And the ship was at risk of breaking. Right? The message here is very clear. Yonah, you can't really run away, because even if you're out of Nivua range, I have other ways of communicating with you. And in this case, it's really interesting that God chooses the wind as his messenger, because Eliyahu, who was the person responsible for reviving Yonah, right, who Yonah owes his life to, got this great prophecy from God in which God told him, I'm not lo v'ruach Hashem, right? I'm not found in the raging wind, but rather in the cold mama daka, I'm found in the soft sound. Nonetheless, Hashem uses a raging wind here. Maybe he's hinting to Yonah, look, I stepped out of my comfort zone. Right now I need you to step out of yours. I know this isn't your first choice. I know this doesn't feel right to you, going to Nineveh and calling out to them. But just like I stepped out of my comfort zone and used the wind, I want you to step out of yours. If we continue in the Pesukim, we'll see the response of the sailors to this storm. Vayir'u hamalachim, they are terrified. The sailors are petrified. Vayizaku el eloka, ish el elokav, and each one of them starts calling out to their various gods. And while they're calling out to the gods, vayitlu et hakelim asher ba'aniyah, they take all the vessels that are on the boat, el hayam, they throw them into the sea, lahakel me'alem, to hopefully lighten the load and save their lives so the ship doesn't sink. And then in such stark contrast, right, what's going on with Yonah? V'yonah yarad el yarkitei haspina vayishkav vayirdam. He goes down. Again, that shorash that reminds us that this isn't just a physical descent, but emotionally and spiritually he's going down as well. He goes down to the bottom of the boat and he goes to sleep, right? Maybe he feels unworthy of turning to God. We know how that feels when we feel just so alienated and disconnected that the only thing we can do is just run further away. But the contrast is stunning. Upstairs, there's pandemonium. Everyone is scared for their lives. They're screaming, they're throwing things. And downstairs, we have Yonah fast asleep. But it reminds me, when I was a kid, the fire alarm went off in our house at around 1 a.m. in the morning. And my parents tried everything. They could not get the alarm to go off. And it was loud, really loud. So finally, the police department had to come. And they're trying to problem solve and figure out how to turn this alarm off. And it takes them a while till they finally get it off. And when they do, and the house is quiet, they look at the couch and they see that my 11-year-old brother has slept through the entire thing. The police chief is in shock. He takes out his pad of, you know, his ticket pad from his pocket, and he writes on it, "We were here, you missed it. Teaneck Police Department." My brother was very proud of that piece of paper. He actually framed it and put it on his desk. But the captain in our story also cannot believe that Yonah is sleeping through this, right? Sometimes all the alarms and sirens in the world can be going off and people can just sleep through it. And that's Yonah. And so the captain approaches him in Pasuk Vav. Vayikrav elav Rav HaChovel. The Rav HaChovel, the captain of the ship, comes to Yonah and says, Malacha nirdam, kum, kra el elokecha. What are you doing sleeping? Hello, do you realize what's going on? Get up, call to your God. How can you possibly sleep at a moment like this? So interesting. The captain of the ship is referred to here as Rav HaChovel, which literally means the one who controls the ropes. And the reason it's so interesting is because sometimes in our piyutim, in our Jewish liturgy, Hashem is referred to as Rav HaChovel, which makes a lot of sense because Hashem is literally the one who controls the ropes or pulls the strings behind the scenes as he guides the world, which means that it could be that God is really talking to Yonah through the captain of the ship. Just like he was talking to Yonah through the wind, now he's talking to Yonah through the captain of the ship, and he's saying, Yonah, wake up, right? Why are you sleeping? Now, keep this in mind that we read this sefer on Yom Kippur, right? A time of year when we have a very similar call to wake up, and that's the sounds of the shofar, which reminds us, right, just like in the story of Yonah, that the storms are raging around us. Things are going nuts, and we need to get up. We need to awaken from our spiritual slumber and call out to God, right? And not like Yonah or my little brother on the couch and sleep through it. As this conversation between Yonah and the captain is taking place, the rest of the people of the ship try a new approach, and they're going to cast lots. They look around and they see that there's only one ship being targeted by this storm. So it has to be that someone on this ship is responsible for the storm. And so they decide, Vayipol ha-gorah, so they decide to cast lots. And look what happens. Vayipol ha-gorah al Yonah. The lot falls on Yonah. And the Midrash tells us this wasn't just one lot. They tried this over and over, time after time. And every single time it fell on Yonah. And they say to themselves, this can't really be a coincidence anymore. And so then in Pasuk Chet, their interrogation begins. And they say, Vayomer ve'elav ha-gida na'lanu ba'asher le'mihara hazot. Who have you wronged? What's your job? What do you do? Where do you come from? What nation are you part of? And then in Pasuk Tet, Yonah's response is so beautiful and so poignant. You asked me a lot of questions, but there's really only one thing that you need to know, and that is, Ivri Anochi Vat Hashem Elokei HaShamayim Ani Arei. I'm a Jew and I'm proud and I'll sing it out loud, and forever and ever that's what I'll be. Even as Yonah is running away, even as he feels too alienated to turn to God, look how he defines himself. He defines himself as a Jew. That's how he identifies himself. And as Jews, we need to keep that in mind, that wherever we're from and whatever we do, first and foremost, we are Jews. Now the sailors are even more terrified. And they ask Yonah in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Mana aselecha v'yishtoka mayim elinu. What are we going to do to you? What should we do to you? Which is actually really nice of them to even ask his opinion. I don't know that I would have done the same. And Yonah says to them, Sa'uni, lift me up, v'hatiluni elayam, and throw me into the water, v'yishtoka yam. And I'm telling you, the waters will come down, me'alecha. Ki yodea ani, because I know very well, ki b'shali ha-sa'ar ha-gadol hazeh, that this storm is all my fault. It's all happening because of me. And these sailors are not just nice guys, they're really, really nice guys. And they try alternatives and they say, let's just row really hard. Maybe we'll make it back to dry land. But that doesn't work. And then they turn to God and they beg God and they say, don't make us do this, right? Don't make us throw him over. But nothing works. And so finally, in Pasuk Tetvav, left with no other choice, Vayis'u et Yonah, they lift Yonah up, Vayitilu alayam, and they throw him into the water. And immediately, Vaya'amod hayam miza'apo. It works. The sea calms down. And the parak ends with the response of the sailors to everything they've just experienced, right? The feeling that they were going to die, and then the realization that this was happening because of Yonah, and then throwing him off and everything calming down. That entire experience, what's their response? Pasuk Tet Zayin, Vayir'u ha'anashim yir'ah gedola et Hashem. All that fear that they were feeling is now channeled towards Yirat Shamayim. They have this great fear of God. And the Midrash describes that because of this, they all convert. They turn their entire lives around. They even undergo circumcisions, which I've heard are pretty painful, all because it was so clear to them that God was running the world. And I think the transformation of the sailors really has to force us, each one of us, to ask ourselves, will we do the same? Right? When we know what's right, will we be willing to make those big changes to turn our entire lives around the way that they did? Keeping in mind that we read this on Yom Kippur, when the challenge is even more pronounced, it is a day when we must seriously consider transforming our lives, changing parts of our personality, when we really think about reinventing ourselves and becoming different and better people. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef.